Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. In this episode, we are going to be chatting with Mr. Craig Williams, who had a recent experience on a Central Europe Adventures by Disney trip that went to Germany, Austria, and the Czech Republic. That's what's coming up next, live from the Bob Varley Studio here in Orlando, Florida. This is The Diz Unplugged. This is The Diz Unplugged, episode number 849 for the week of September 1st, 2015. The Diz Unplugged is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect Disney World, Disneyland, Adventures by Disney, and Disney Cruise Line vacations. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Well, again, hello everyone and welcome to The Diz Unplugged. I am your host, Dustin West, and I am joined at the table for this segment by my good friends, John Magi.
Hi, everybody.
Kevin Close.
Hello.
Craig Williams.
Hi.
Corey Martin.
Still happy to be here.
And back in the production nook, we have Mr. Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
Hello.
That
was weird.
He's all by himself back there.
Lonely.
Looking real lonely.
I'm so lonely. Well,
as mentioned before, Craig, a couple months ago? How long has it been?
Oh, geez, it's been, that trip left like the first week of June and was 9 days. So, yeah, I've been back for like 2 months. I don't know why it's taken me so long to talk about it, but.
Well, we wanted to get everybody here at the table.
Part of the reason was I specifically asked that we could be here.
Yeah.
We wanted to hear your opinions and we wanted to see your pictures and stuff.
Well, it was more because I was crafting a 10 to 15 minute long video that I got told yesterday I needed chopped down to fives.
You were crafting it?
I always try to craft everything I do, and including this one.
Like a good beer.
What's that?
I said like a good beer. Sorry, go ahead.
Craft. Wow. So anyway, the whole point was...
I changed my mind. I don't want to be here for this.
This is, wow. A lot of people were traveling, but in specific, John and Kevin wanted to be here. Specifically to talk about Adventures by Disney, because...
I'm going to need some help through this one. This is actually my first segment I'm ever quarterbacking for the Diz Unplugged Disney World Edition.
Is it really?
It is. I've never done one by myself before, so.
Well, luckily you have five other people here.
I disagree with that, but it was.
Sorry, it's only four right now.
What is he doing? Quarterbacking?
Quarterbacking. It's a
sports.
It's a craft.
Is it a Star Wars thing?
Yeah, it's Boba Fett. So, no, it was an amazing trip to Central Europe, as you said. Started off in Prague before then. Well, not before then. It went to Prague. Then after that, kind of made a port of hub in Germany. And then
it
from there,
what?
It was like a port or a hub out of Germany.
Gotcha.
I don't know the best way to describe it.
I got it. I just didn't know what those words were.
Yeah, gibberish, like always for me. And then eventually went over to Vienna. The
place where they make the sausages.
The crown jewel of Austria, from what I understand, and I definitely agree with that. But before we get diving into it too far, I did put together that video that's not great because it's just cut down at the last second. But I'm going to be a little myself. So, Rhino, if you want to play that.
I would love to.
Thank you. Oh.
Well, Craig,
I looked awesome.
I don't care how long the video is. That was absolutely beautiful. And if you're listening and you didn't have a chance to watch that, we will post that video by itself in the show notes.
It was well crafted.
Oh, thank you.
Will you get the full one up, do you think? You put the whole one up that you didn't cut down?
I'm actually going to split it, the big one, into smaller parts so that way it breaks off Prague by itself and then
all the different sections.
Sorry.
Well, he visited a lot of the places I went to, so.
Too soon.
Wow.
Too soon.
Oh, boy.
Telling you.
All right.
Making this easy. So the Central Europe ABD trip used to be called Storybook Kingdoms, just because all of the locations you go to are very, they're driven from that old classic storytelling.
Right.
Dean tried to explain it about a million times on the trip, and I think I picked up on it one or two times.
ABD has gone away from giving specific names to the trips. I mean, Arizona and Utah used to be called Cowboys and Canyons, and they don't do that anymore.
Now it's more about the location.
Right, because that helps people decide where they want to go and they have to figure it out.
No, it makes perfect sense. But yeah, so as I already mentioned, Prague, Berchtesgaden in Germany, and then Vienna in Austria. Should I get into pricing and all that stuff too?
Because pricing can change.
Okay, then I won't worry.
If you want
about
a price
that.
Right to Kevin at Dreams Unlimited Travel.
That's actually a good idea. I should have taken more advice from my travel agent in this.
Going a day
Kevin.
Early?
Well, no, we tried to get me a day early, but they didn't have it. It was my stupid mistake on the way back to stay on Delta and then have to connect through two cities and have a miserable time on the way home. But no, you did wonderful in trying to give me good advice that I completely ignored. So thank you, Kevin.
I tried to talk Craig out of the flight that he wanted.
Yeah.
And he said, no, we had to go on that kind of that he had a fly on Delta. I said, I can't get you a good connection on Delta.
You wanted those points.
Yeah, I mean, I got my Sky Miles for next year. But yeah, so anyways, I've mentioned it already a million times now. The trip starts in Prague, so to get there we had to fly into Prague, which was beautiful going into it. And then once you get to the airport from the outside, Czech Republic was heavily into communism, obviously, through that whole period. So it definitely has a communist look to it upon pulling into the airport and all that. But then as soon as you get into the city, you finally hear what everyone says about Prague, and that's it's beautiful. It was relatively untouched from World War II. It really wasn't in any of the action. And in fact, I was going to mention it during the video to everyone at the table, but I'll mention it now. One of the reasons why it was relatively untouched, especially by the Germans, and being taken care of is because there is a section of Prague, the Jewish quarter, that Hitler deemed that he was going to leave it in perfect condition, so that way after he obviously finished his whole master plan, that's where the museum would be held to keep the memory of the past culture that's no longer around alive. So that's why that section in particular and a lot of Prague survived without any damage, because they were taking as good care of it as they could.
And just from a completely ignorant standpoint on the city of Prague, which is where I'm coming from, we go to a place like London and there's history there from the medieval times, castles, stuff like that. How far back is some of these buildings in the history that you're seeing, just in general with Prague?
As far as I know, it's back into like the 13th century. I know that a lot of the big staples of Prague are Prague Castle with the St. Vitus Cathedral. That's actually, Rhino, if you want to pull up that first picture, sure. Of course, all the pictures will be posted somewhere too. On the disboards and one of the photo galleries that we make, but that's kind of the big icon of Prague is this cathedral, obviously shot from a distance here. And then one of the other big things that is very popular is the Charles Bridge, and that was actually, it started being built in the 1300s and then finished in the 1400s. Wow. So that's literally living history right there as you're walking across such an old bridge. And that follows into their old town center that they have, which is, again, it's extremely old. It's called Old Town Square. It's got this astronomical clock that is just completely ancient, beautiful, still works in perfect condition.
It's the oldest clock in the world.
Wow.
I didn't even know that. I don't think they explained that to us on that trip.
You know who I knew?
How?
Right here.
Kevin, it's on the internet. You never cease to amaze me.
That I can read?
Yes.
Let's back up for just a second. I know you want to talk about the places you've been. Let's talk a little bit about the ABD portion of it. I mean, you get to the land, your plane lands, and you're met by an ABD person.
Absolutely.
Who comes and takes you and just sort of whisks you away with your luggage.
Yes.
Which is a thing, which is one of the best parts of this trip, of any Adventures by Disney trip.
Oh, in this case, this was my first time as well as Kylie was with me. This was our first time traveling overseas, technically. I don't count Canada and Mexico, of course. So
they're not.
Yeah, just
overseas. Well, that's why
that's
we
a
don't
good
say
reason.
I don't know.
Oh my gosh!
You stay on the same continent.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And there's no sea involved.
That's a very good point. Well, now I can say I'm a world class traveler.
Yes,
before
you are.
I couldn't. That was actually one of the greatest things is that we got to this airport, and I mean, easily recognize where to go. They had signs in English, all that, but to then get out of the airport, out of the baggage claim, through security, all that, and then to see Dean, our ABD guide, who was also my ABD guide on the only other trip I took to the Backstage Magic in California. I mean, it was just an instant, like, comfort feel to know that mm-hmm. someone was there that I actually could trust.
And I have some bad news for you. Dean doesn't do every single trip. I know that's your experience.
You could follow him around if you wanted.
I know what trips he does. And then, you know, we're taken by transportation to the hotel in the Prague portion. It's the Prague Marriott Hotel, which is in, like, block one of 8 or 9 that they have in Prague, because it's all broken down into different blocks. And there we met our other guide, Stephanie, which
Stephanie?
You...
Stephanie.
Yeah.
Stephanie.
That's exactly,
she's
exactly
German.
Right.
Oh,
that's
Stephanie. How she says it.
I was
Stephanie.
Sorry, just saying what you were saying.
Yeah, no, she's German, and she also does the Germany trip as well as others, and she was one of the guides on John and Kevin's Germany trip two years ago?
She was.
Yeah, and another amazing guide. Just can't say enough good things about her. But then, obviously, with any ABD, the first night's always the welcome reception. You get to know everyone in the room.
Before you go on, I just want to tell a little bit about ABD. Transfers from the airport to the hotel are included in everyone's ABD. This is not an extra charge. Whatever ABD you book, they will come and get you at the airport. If you're going to add extra nights before the trip, there are circumstances that can be explained in depth, but transfers are included.
Right.
Sorry, go ahead.
You're welcome, dinner.
Oh, yeah. Welcome reception into the welcome dinner in Prague. It is held at the Municipal House, which is just this old-fashioned looking. It kind of had a touristy feel to it, but got our first sample, really, of Czech food, and it's kind of very similar to German food if you've ever had that. I think that whole region just all has the same type of food, very meat and potato and noodle heavy all the time with lots of gravy, and I definitely came home packing a couple extra pounds.
Well, all the words you just said were amazing.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was also something I have to say up front about this trip too. Sometimes on trips, depending on what meal it is, ABD will also cover drinks, alcoholic drinks, if it's part of the custom. And since all these countries are very into beer heavy, basically every meal that ABD was in charge of, except for one, and then breakfast, there was any beer, wine that you wanted
in
to have.
Germany, beer was included in breakfast, too.
It was, but we were there during Oktoberfest, and that was a big thing. There were bottles of champagne and tubs of beer. Yeah.
And like Craig said, that is all circumstantial. Some meals include it, some don't. So just check with your – if you're on an ABD trip, check with your guide. Is this included?
Yeah.
I also need to make another statement. I apologize. I'm going to keep doing this as you go. Mm-hmm. You had dinner at a certain place. ABD does not – state that will be the restaurant for everything.
Exactly.
There are things that are based on availability, and things might have to be moved around a little bit. There will be a welcome dinner. It might not be in the same location.
Okay.
Yeah, and we got in really early in the morning, so we actually had time to get in and wander around the city. We didn't want to take a nap and just completely screw ourselves up for the rest of the trip because we weren't able to get in a day early. So we went and checked out some of the sights and scenes around, and the one thing that we found, we're both huge Beatle fans, we found the Lennon Wall, which is just this random graffitied wall that people started going with and doing all these John Lennon quotes. There's always a guitar player out there or some type of musician that's just playing Beatles music at all hours of the day.
That's
and
cool.
Does
he have any connection to Prague other than he's a world famous musician?
I don't know, really. I didn't really look that up, but I'm guessing that Prague had some tough times with communism and all that, and since John Lennon had a very peace-oriented background to him, I'm wondering if that might have had something to do with.
Okay.
But, yeah, the next day, the first full day of it, it's essentially an all-day walking tour of Prague for the most part. You get up really early in the morning, and you start off on your way to Prague Castle. And that is, like I said, it's all the way up on the hill where they put the castles. The big icon of that is the St. Vitus, I believe is how it's pronounced, Cathedral. And some of the, for the most part, you just walk around the whole area and check it out. They have a changing of the guards that they do in the morning that they wanted us to watch because it's some big event that hundreds and hundreds of people gather around to see. And unfortunately for us, we couldn't get inside the cathedral because our trip started on a Saturday. So obviously they had mass in there on Sunday, but apparently they are now changing the trip to start on Friday. So that way people can get inside the cathedral and see some of the stained glass artwork in there. Cause it's even featured in your ABD brochure whenever you get it, but then you get there and you're not even allowed to see it because you're not celebrating. But yeah, you do a full tour of the castle, and that's the easy part walking around there. Then you have to do like a mile trek down a hill that has just beautiful views and of all of Prague, and eventually you make your way down to the Charles Bridge to learn a little bit more about that with your local guide. And our local guide spoke very broken English, so I kind of just took my headset out and completely ignored her and spent more time taking in a lot of the sights and sounds that were happening around. Charles,
can I jump in one more second?
Yeah, absolutely.
This is something that happens on most trips. If you're going from place to place, the two guides travel with you all the time. You have your same two ABD guides, but they bring on a local expert.
Right.
When we were in San Francisco just recently, the two guides were there, but they brought in a person who was very well-versed in San Francisco. So that's quite common.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm sure she would have been more helpful if I could understand her. And also, just the crowd levels were huge, especially like in this Charles Bridge area going into the Old Town Square. Obviously, a lot of river cruises go through.
And it was Prague. A weekend.
And it was a weekend while we were there. And it felt almost like a cruise port whenever you have every ship come in at the same time. Mm-hmm. And it's just flooded with people. And it was just constantly busy. But everything's just gorgeous around there. I said it already, everything's untouched, and it is that way. For me, a lot of people on the trip were very interested in shopping and getting into all that. I spent most of my time in this whole area just constantly looking around. It's just that's what appeals to me.
One of the great things about any Adventures by Disney trip is it's about getting what you want out of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you talked about this trek and this process of getting from place to place. Kevin and I probably would have said, listen, we can't do that. We just can't physically do that, so let's meet you there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're great about arranging that. Things like you said, someone wants to shop, someone wants to sightsee.
To go to a museum.
You're not interested in the history, so you took your headset out. One of the things we try to let people know is it's your vacation. You get the most out of your vacation. So don't feel like, oh, I'm going to miss something if I take my headset out.
Oh, exactly. That was kind of like with the astronomical clock, the world's oldest one, according to Kevin and the internet. No one was forced into watching that, but we stood around for 15, 20 minutes just to watch it go off and do its little thing. It's stunning. It's gorgeous. I could sit there and stare at it all day. So that kind of takes up your entire morning there on your second day with Old Town Square, and then eventually that's leading into marionette making, which I actually enjoyed. It was the only
thing.
That's on day one. Or day two, technically.
Day two.
It looks a little creepy for my taste.
I didn't get that one. I got this awesome hunter that I didn't take a picture of and bring it with me, but no, it's an awesome little souvenir that you get to take home at the end of your trip, too, completely free. Like I said, I wasn't interested in shopping in Prague at all, so I can say I walked home with something that's
your souvenir,
authentic.
Very personal, it's great.
So I know as many people tried to. It would have been nice if they would have let us know ahead of time that we were going to be taking one home, I guess. I didn't make room for it in my bag, so then we were just taking the chance that it wasn't getting crushed.
We've had that happen on other trips. We went to Venice, and you do the mass making, and the next thing you know, you have this fragile thing that somehow you have to get home.
Now, when you arrived, did they give you a duffel bag?
Yes, they did.
We find that that duffel bag is a great way to make room in your suitcase.
Mm-hmm.
Put all of your dirty clothes in there and check a bag.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have room in your suitcase.
Exactly,
for the
we did. Yeah.
Yeah, on the, I way overpacked for this trip because one thing I wasn't expecting was the amount of heat. It was basically in the 90s almost all the time, except for whenever we were high up in the mountains of Germany. Other than that, it was scorcher, especially in Vienna. But yeah, the day winds up there with a river cruise, taking in more sights of Prague again, and then ends with a dinner at this little folk festival type place. But
that's one of the things that I've read, and I thought, okay, that sounds scary, because it's like folk dancing, and they don't like make you participate, do they?
Yes, they do.
See, I hate that. I hate that.
Can you didn't have to. You yeah. You could.
They'll just shame you if you don't.
Yeah, no. It was honestly, the food was good for the most part, and it was entertaining. We spent most of our time wondering if the two dancers were married or what was going on there, because there was a chemistry, and we couldn't quite figure it out.
Making up backstories like Teresa
yeah,
does.
No, it was definitely a Teresa moment. But after you get out of Prague and you start to leave to go to Germany, this was one of the highlights, probably my third favorite thing on this trip. On your way to Germany, you stop in Český Krumlov.
So that's day three. Now you've left the hotel in the morning.
Yes.
And you get on a bus and they take your luggage to your next destination.
Yes, which is extremely nice to be able to just put your luggage outside the door. And it's typically picked up within minutes of whenever you put it out. And it's on the bus just waiting for you to get on there after you have breakfast.
That's true at whenever you make a transition. Mm-hmm. ABD will tell you, some will tell you to put it inside the door, some will tell you to put it outside the door.
At a certain time.
At a certain time, and then you go to breakfast and ignore it. They will tell you to keep a day bag with you with everything you would need, medication, a jacket if it's chilly, you know, your camera. Yeah. But your luggage, you don't have to deal with it.
Yeah, and so it made the traveling to Český Krumlov very relaxing, very enjoyable. I said it's a UNESCO site. That means it's a United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization protected site. So Chesky's been around since the 13th century. And pretty much, I mean, it's been developed further outwards, but the inside is very much what it's been for years and years and years. And
it looks beautiful.
It's exactly what I thought the Czech Republic would be whenever I was picturing where it was there. Like, just old, almost Russian-style architecture, frescoes on all of the walls, something that I've never even seen before until this trip, except for, like, the fake ones at the Italy Pavilion in Disney World. And I just, exploring this place, we got taken on a guided tour the entire morning, and then up until lunch, and then we were free to roam around, check out whatever we wanted. The first thing Kylie and I did was go up to the castle, because we're kind of into that, and that's where we found out that on each side of their moat, they have bears, and they're just giant live bears.
You know, just in case.
I mean, it's not really, I guess I shouldn't say it's a moat, but bears are they're an important animal to the people of Český Krumlov, so they've always had bears.
And
down
a deterrent for you entering the castle.
Yeah. But he was cute.
He was. I want to go
sitting there, not eating all his food and all that, but
scratching his butt up against the wall.
Okay, it's not Jungle Book.
Well, the video had him doing it.
Yeah, no, he was scratching his nose. Yeah, and we just...
And
we,
singing the bear necessities.
The sad part about Český Krumlov is you only have about total 4 hours there.
That's one of those things where they know they have a long drive ahead of them, and they want to stop. We had a lot of that when we did the Southwest. Mm-hmm. I know they do that a little bit in the Italy trips as well. Yeah, you'll have
Germany
stops
too,
just like along the way to break up the bus drive a little bit.
How did you do lunch there? Lunch was on your own. Did you use a guide suggestion? Did you
We didn't, because we spent so much time walking around. We didn't have enough time for the the places that the guide suggested. So we actually just found a creperie, mm-hmm. as they're called, and it ended up being really, really
good.
That
sounds really good. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and I mean, it had like prosciutto and all that good stuff in there.
Meaty crepes.
We made a stop in Germany, and where we were going to have lunch was on the top floor of where I would have had to bend over to climb up the stairs, so I didn't go. So they recommended a place that was far too crowded. We couldn't get in. And John and I ended up having homemade waffles. Like, what are they called? When you go to a carnival, they have that stuff that they put
funnel in. Funnel cake?
Funnel cake. Homemade funnel cake with ice cream and sliced bananas and fruit on top of it. And everybody came out of lunch, and they were like, well, what did you do? And we showed them pictures of what we had for lunch. So you never know what you're going to find.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah, we got that. And then we had one of the Prague and that whole Czech Republic, Slovakian specialty dessert called Tridelnik. I didn't put a picture in there. It's in the video, though. It's just this weird, like, donut-type pastry with cinnamon sugar on it. They can put almonds, stuff it with Nutella on the inside. Mm-hmm.
Again, all these words are wonderful.
Quite a good amount of those. But yeah, the end goal was to get to Berchtesgaden in Germany, and that is the that's your hotel for the next couple nights in that. So in terms of Berchtesgaden, it is mostly famous because, not to bring back up Hitler again, but this was Hitler's, this is where his Berghof was, and where a lot of the Nazi party was set up during World War II whenever they'd go on vacation. So the picture of the hotel, for example, if you look really teeny tiny in the right-hand corner up above, and I'll go to the close-up, that is actually the Kelstein House, which was Hitler's eagle's nest that he was too afraid to go up to. And if you've ever seen Band of Brothers, that's like in one of the last episodes of that, that's the house that they go raid and they steal all the Nazi artwork and that furniture. And
that must be crazy staying at. That's the hotel you stayed at?
Well, we stayed at the hotel right down below it. But yeah, if it was clear outside, we could see right up to Hitler's eagle's nest. And then the remains of his mountain house were literally a 5-minute hike.
I can't imagine that. That must just be like an ominous feeling of...
It was very creepy.
You know, I don't even know how I could explain how I'd feel about that.
Yeah,
at this point, you're in the Bavarian Alps.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Okay, you know how I know that? It was written here.
Let me ask you about this hotel. What seems to happen on a lot of these Adventures by Disney trips where you have multiple hotels, the middle one is always what's described as rustic. Where the first one's a little bit nicer because you're in a big city and then you kind of go someplace. Was this the rustic hotel of the trip?
Absolutely not.
No, really?
It's an intercontinental.
Oh, is it really?
Well, it was. They switched it. Now it's called the Kempinski.
It's a Kempinski,
They're a luxury brand also.
We stayed at the three hotels were the Prague Marriott, which was definitely the lowest of the end.
Oh.
Then the Kempinski, and then in Vienna, you stay at the... At Vienna, you stay at the Ritz-Carlton, and this was my absolute favorite place, not even just because of the scenery around. It was very modern.
That's nice to know, because like I said, a lot of these trips, you sort of dread that you're going to go someplace and it's going to be...
I would move into this hotel. I would stay there forever if I could.
However, they told us that one of the hotels in our Germany was going to be rustic, and you and I thought we were going to be sleeping on bales of hay, and it turned out to be our favorite hotel.
Did,
in the whole thing. We stayed in a castle where they had gutted the inside of the castle, and within the castle walls built a very modern
luxury hotel,
almost Danish modern hotel inside the actual castle shell. So while you were staying in an old castle and there were still remnants of that, you had a very modern hotel room with a very modern bathroom.
Cool. So, like I said, Berchtesgaden, that's where your hotel is. And from there, you start going out to different sections. On your day four, the first place you go is Werfen in Austria, like most of the locations you go to visit. And the reason you're going there is to see the Ice Hole Cave, which doesn't sound exciting from the onset. At least it didn't to me. I was very not excited to do this one. But That's because I thought a cave was going to be down below the ground. The first thing you do is they pack you into a gondola and you just start going up the side of the mountain. I don't know how far, but yeah, once you get to the top, you're looking straight down and it's pretty freaky.
Oh,
and
man, scary.
It doesn't stop from there. After you get out of the gondola, then you have another mile hike up winding roads until you start to see the end goal in the distance, just this hole in the side of a mountain, and that's where the ice caves are. And it is just apparently because of all the temperature and the fact that it's on the side of a mountain like that, the ice can actually build up and keep surviving no matter what the temperature is outside, just with the pressure and the humidity. And it is a big hike to get up there. And then once you're in the ice caves itself, you have 700 stairs to climb up. And this is like complete. Most people came bundled up in gloves and coats. I went in wearing a t-shirt because that's just how I am. And
unprepared.
Not unprepared. I had my stuff because the guidebook told me to bring stuff. I was really sweating from the hiking part.
I was going to say, you walk a mile, climb 700 stairs, I'd be in my skivvies rolling around on the ice. Do you have a picture of the inside by any chance?
Yes, we do. Technically, you're not allowed it, and they can't promise you on most tours that you'll get to, but because we were the first group that went in the morning, we were actually allowed to take pictures really briefly of the inside.
Why not take photos?
What's that?
Why won't they let you take photos?
Okay, so it's completely dark. They can't light it at all. So what you do is you're walking in single-file lines the entire way through, and every third person or so will be holding a lantern that's lit, and then your guide will be at the front through there, and he's just lighting sulfur over and over again. Or not sulfur, phosphorus line.
Yeah.
And so just lighting it up, and it just... That's how you go through. You go through in pretty much darkness, and then he'll stop at certain points and then, like, throw the strips so it lights up and you see all the ice. And, you know, if people are taking their cameras, they're going to slip and fall and hurt themselves. And there was plenty of opportunities to hurt yourself going through there, but it was...
This sounds up your alley, Kevin.
At the end, you get to see a Star Wars movie.
this is the like the most hiking and nature-y kind of thing I've heard so far on Adventures by Disney.
Now, I just want you to know, I don't do well on ice. I don't do well in the dark. I'm really not good about single file.
The gondola would have been out of question.
The gondola would have been out of the question.
We would have met you at the bottom of the hill.
700 stairs. This is one of the things that I would have asked the guides what was going on, and I would have said, I will find something else to do, and I would have taken their advice. I would have found something on my own. You are not required to participate in every action, every activity on an ABD. There are certain things that I just can't, won't, don't want to do. This would have been one of all three. So I want everybody to know that you have that opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. We even had someone in our group who was willing to ride up the gondola, but she couldn't make it the rest of the way. And they always find something for everyone while you're on there. So after you're done with the ice cave, you go down back into Verfin, specifically for the castle that's down there, the Hohenverfin Castle, and you essentially take a tour of it. It's in one of the flyover shots, I guess, during the Do-Re-Mi section of
Sound of Music.
So that's where some people know it from. I know it from being an old castle that we went and stood in. But one of the neat parts about it is after you take your castle tour and you look at all the replicas of the torture devices and they took us up to the tower with the bell, and I felt like the tower was going to fall over. It was very, very scary being up that high in these kind of windy conditions. But after that, they take you down to their courtyard, and they actually put on a falconry show there, I think, a couple times a day. And I had no interest in sitting there watching birds fly around. But once you start have falcons and eagles and buzzards come in feet from your head flying really, really fast, it's actually really entertaining.
Yeah.
I think ABD is great at that. When you start to read the description, you think, And then you realize, well, what, this is actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
In the Germany trip, they take you to Neuschwanstein. That's the famous castle that you always say, Mad King Ludwig's castle up on the hill. And that was a very difficult hike, according to the guides. So John and I didn't do that, but there was a small town at the bottom of the hill. So we have great pictures of the hill in the cloud, or of the castle in the clouds and out of the clouds. So if you think you can't do something, I just want to reiterate, there are other things usually for people to do.
Yeah, and so that whole day kind of ended around 6 o'clock by the time you got back to your hotel. They just recommended you have dinner in the hotel. We broke the recommendation and went down into Berchtesgaden and tried to find some place to eat, and we succeeded in the brewery that we were looking for, but essentially everything else was closed.
Was that walking distance, or did you have to get a car?
They would do a taxi, but because of... They were able to work out a better arrangement for us for a special trip this time, but on a normal time, if anyone wanted to do it, they would say just call a taxi, and they'll come up and pick you up and take you to the bottom and then back up whenever you're ready. The next day is the Salzburg Day, and that's the big Sound of Music Day. A lot of people hear about this tour because they do the Sound of Music tour and take it all the filming locations.
And you just went woohoo. Many, many, many people take this tour because of this day.
This is the day.
This was Kylie's thing that she was looking forward to the most on it.
Did you watch the movie? Did you watch the movie in preparation?
We watched it in preparation like 2 times, and then you also get to watch again during one of your bus rides.
Okay. I wouldn't doubt that. Yeah,
have a special. Permission from Fox to allow them to use the movie on that tour. But before you get to all the Sound of Music locations, you actually start at Hellbrunn Palace, and that is the location of these trick fountains that were built by Marcus Sidicus, who was the Prince Archbishop of Salzburg way back when. He had a sick sense of humor, and this was just like not even a summer house for him. It was just kind of like a day house that he would come over to, and he would invite all these foreign dignitaries or whatever the heck they had back then over. And essentially, he had all these fountains set up that would trick them. He would get them to sit down, and they would get sprayed with water, and he would always have the one seat that never got wet.
Oh my gosh, it's like Trader Sam's.
Yeah, and this isn't just like at one table or anything. All the grounds are filled with all these kind of like little trick fountains in different areas. They'll have like a pavilion with the nice, what's the type of granite or whatever? You know, it's statues inside.
Marble.
And marble, yeah. They'll have nice marble statues inside. But then to get out, you'll have to like go through a wall of water if you want to actually leave. And he just had this sense of humor where he liked to do that. So you get to go around to all the locations, see.
Something like that cool German boys. Sense of humor for you.
Right. I'm sure he was very popular among the dignitaries.
And probably wearing powdered wigs.
Of course. But, so you go through all the grounds at Hellbrunn Palace, and now it's really well known because on their grounds is where the gazebo is from Sound of Music.
Right.
Now, this isn't the... technically the movie gazebo that was built on a soundstage. That's the only way you could get a camera inside to get them dancing and doing all these moves, but this one actually was on the grounds where they shot the location for their house, and so this would have been in the background
and
acting
clearly,
as the gazebo,
and clearly the inspiration for that scene.
Were you
exactly
I've read that you're not allowed to go in there any longer
because people probably jump around and swing around.
What I've heard is that somebody broke her ankle jumping from one bench to another.
I heard that too, but with Adventures by Disney, we were allowed to go inside.
That's awesome.
And
did you jump from bench to bench?
Did you get a warning not to?
Well, no, we didn't. We just did kind of like posed pictures from the movie for the most part. Tried to keep it as classy as possible while all these people are looking at us wondering why they're not allowed to go in, but we are, which is...
That's very typical on an ABD trip.
Oh, no, it was great. And Kylie and I were the first allowed to go in there, so...
Where's your photo?
It's on my phone. I didn't pull up...
That one's
I didn't put in the photo.
Just for him.
There's a lot out there. Go follow me on Instagram if you want to see one of those pictures. We have them.
Very shameless.
It's a plug. So this is where you also have lunch at Hellbrun Palace, and that's whenever your Sound of Music guide will meet you. Before, apparently, with this tour, you started the Sound of Music portion in the morning with a guide, and then it ended at the palace. Now it's completely switched. So you start at the palace in the morning, then meet the guide, and go on from there.
Was his name Maria?
No, but he was related to, not Maria, but Captain Von Trapp's widow.
Nuh-uh.
Or not widow, the one who died. He was like her second cousin or something like that.
The one that had all the kids.
Yeah, so apparently to do the tour or something, they were saying, I don't know how much to believe it, but yeah, you have to have special privilege, including being related to do it. So that's why he was authorized to give the tour that he was giving, because he had that weird distant relationship. But the tour started, you get back on your bus, and you get to go past the house that they used for the exterior shots. You don't get to stop there. Then you get to see the Abbey as you're driving by, too. Again, you don't get to stop there. On our trip, for the first time ever, I believe, they actually let us stop and get out where they filmed all the back patio scenes. So, like, whenever they're on there drinking the pink lemonade and they're playing ball with
the Baroness.
Yeah, the Baroness and all that. So we got to go and see that patio and stand on it, and then including, that's where the lake is also, like where they flip the canoe, and it has the horses that are like mermaids as well too, and have the fins. Unfortunately, they are going through renovation, so there was this guy out there the entire time with a pressure washer trying to clean it off that was kind of ruining pictures. But considering we were supposedly the first group to get to see it anyways, it doesn't matter. Yeah, it didn't matter what state it is, and that's at this house, that's where originally the gazebo was. So,
okay.
And then from there, you head over to Mirabel Gardens in downtown Salzburg area, and that's where they have the stairs where they finish the Do Re Mi song, and they're jumping up mm-hmm. and down the stairs, as well as the fountain that they're running around in that. So that's where a lot of these locations are, and then the completely covered vine areas where they're running up and down and skipping and singing right. having fun.
I understand
like
Salzburg is beautiful. Did you think so?
Yes. And that really continues on.
Give that picture back.
Yes.
That the beautiful part of Salzburg continues on after you're outside of the Mirabel Gardens and start getting into actual downtown areas, like where you get to go see Mozart's birth house. And then in the video, you saw like the McDonald's. It was really fancy. Salzburg is one of those cities that they have to follow strict.
The signage has to be accurate.
Yeah, right. they're also UNESCO, and it needs to be falling in line with the standards and procedures of all of it.
I believe
it
Gatlinburg, Tennessee has that also. Signs have to be a certain mm-hmm. size and color. And
when we did the Southwest in I think it was Moab, there was a McDonald's there that had to fit a certain color scheme.
Right.
You know.
Aren't you glad that happens? Because it would be terrible if there was a regular McDonald's stuck in the middle of this beautiful.
But I kept wanting to try a European McDonald's, and I never got around to it.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Cheese.
They have some different stuff. Yeah. It's a little weird sometimes.
One day. I'll get back there.
McDonald's.
I was going to go while we were in Salzburg, but instead we actually had dinner at what is definitely the oldest operating restaurant in Salzburg. It's St. Peter's Stiftskeller, and it's been operating since 803 AD.
Wow.
And
also a UNESCO site.
Yes.
And so it says it here.
That's over 1,000 years old.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
The food was fresh.
Thank God.
Right.
That was
good.
Sorry. That was my
That was
attempt.
A really bad joke.
I was trying. And then during dinner, we had Mozart violinists come in. They had a violinist and a cello or
wow.
sitting down one. It was nice entertainment. And one of the people on our trip was so nice to lift a glass from there for me that said St. Peter's Stiftskeller since 803, and it broke.
That's part of your luggage problems.
Karma.
That's what you get. Yeah, yeah. You ask someone to steal something and then it breaks.
You ask other guests to do this for you?
I didn't ask. They saw how excited I was about the glass and they took it upon themselves to take it. I swear. I swear.
Was this person Kylie?
No. It was, we were, besides the kids that were on the trip, we were some of the younger couples. It was a lot of people up there, and so they kind of all took us under their wing
corrupted
us.
For our audience, please define up there.
Please, there.
Please don't.
No. There like he says 30, 29. I'm going to hit him.
I think
30,
it
31.
Would be anything above me is up there.
Okay.
So, I believe. Great restaurant. The next morning, Kevin and I talked about it a little bit, just briefly there. You start off bright and early at the Salzburg Berchtesgaden salt mine, which, again, I didn't take any pictures of this because they told us that we weren't supposed to. I did sneak a little video in there just for work purposes, but this was one of the most bizarre experiences that I've ever been through.
Now, did you have to put on overalls?
Yeah, you put on, not overalls,
but
a full,
pictures of this.
It's a full jumpsuit. Yeah, they take your picture and they give it to you as part of
right now.
One of the Nespresso presents.
Find that picture.
Right now. I'll have Kylie email it to you later on tonight. She has it. It's awful. So you put on your jumpsuits, and then the first thing you do, you have to get down into the salt mines. You have to ride these like wooden slides that don't have anything to slide on, just using your body and your body weight, and you're straddling this piece of wood, and it's just, it's kind of a fun ride, but it's a little nerve-wracking going down.
You know,
there's
all those
also stairs, or not stairs. There's a nice ramp that leads around there.
You know all those good words I said about the food earlier? These are all bad words.
Yeah.
These are not good.
And then it just, they kind of showed you the process of how they would get the salt out of the mine without actually showing it to you. But then it gets to this point in this one where you board a boat and you go across one of the rivers that they have all the water in to pull the salt out and do the process, but they started this laser light show while you're going across it. It was so weird. And we're kind of all just standing around like, should we be laughing or what? And then kind of after you're done, it was so fun. It was just one of those.
Well, you know, that's the important part, right? You had fun.
And this is a popular tourist attraction?
I guess
people
so.
People who do this trip, this is usually a highlight for
them.
Wow.
People love this.
It was so bizarre. It wasn't as good as the Ice Hole Cave. That was still my favorite, but this was...
I'm sorry. It's hard to say that same thing over and over again.
It's hard to beat an ice hole.
And from there, you go on and you make some pretzels at a local bakery, which was very nice. It was all these brothers that Stephanie was into one of them, so it added a little extra humor onto it.
Oh.
If he's watching out there, I'm sorry if I just ruined something that's happening.
Well, it's one of the brothers. She doesn't know. He doesn't know which one.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think the rest are married.
Well, narrow it down.
Going from there, then you travel to Monsey for lunch before you're, this whole day is traveling to Vienna. So you stop at Monsey, which is this beautiful lake town that's just looking out at mountains and tons of boats. It was a overcast day while we were there, but
still gorgeous.
And you eat lunch right on the waterfront looking out. You can't ask for a more pretty venue. And then while you're also there, that's also where the church where the Von Trapp and Maria get married in The Sound of Music.
I've seen that part.
Yeah, so then we get to stop off and go inside there and check it out before we get on a bus and head to Vienna.
Is Vienna the last location?
Vienna is the last location. So you get there sometime in the early evening and you're allowed to have dinner on your own, start exploring the city. Prague was a little iffy about walking around at night as long as you took care of like your wallet, kept it in a front pocket, all that.
Yeah.
You're safe walking in groups. With Vienna, the complete opposite. I felt like I could have probably walked around with cash sticking out of my back pocket and no one would have bothered me. It was everyone that was kind of in downtown Vienna seemed to be there because they were shopping. They lived in the area that was the closest shopping locations for them, or they didn't care. Everyone was so nice and friendly. And a lot of people out of town, or there for business, we had dinner with some random guy that just sat at a table with us, and he was from England, and it ended up being a really nice and really nice dinner with some conversation. But you get up bright and early.
This is the Ritz-Carlton?
Yes, you're at the Ritz-Carlton, which was definitely ritzy. I've never stayed at a Ritz-Carlton before.
Did you put it on? The Ritz?
I did not put on the Ritz.
Is that what this picture is? I'm sorry.
No. Yeah, that's the Schönbrunn Castle is the Ritz-Carlton.
I don't know. It looks really fancy.
Wow.
When have you ever seen a hotel look like that?
It's Europe, Craig. Wait, I haven't been there.
Show us his room. All the way up in the right hand corner.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's right next to the Queen.
Yeah. So this is a palace that's been around for ages, and it's a part of their whole Habsburg dynasty that was huge in Austria-Hungary and all that for the longest time. Part of that, Franz the First and Francis the First and Maria Theresa, they really used this as their summer residence.
Habsburg, didn't they marry into the British royalty? Wasn't that part of... I don't know.
They married into something.
Yeah.
They were all around. And so while you're here, you get to go on a private guided tour of it. It sucked. You weren't allowed to take pictures or anything, but that's because there's too many people trying to crowd through. But just absolutely stunning in every room. It's, yeah. Obviously, it was my first time over there. It's what I would expect maybe like Versailles or something to look like on the inside. Just really pretty going from room to room. And on the grounds were absolutely massive, and they had gardens in the back that just stretched on forever and ever and ever. And I'm really pissed off at Kylie because she didn't take enough pictures of the gardens and spent more time focusing on house shots and all that. But it's okay. We have the memories in our heads for the rest of the time, and that's what's important. And it was absolutely gorgeous. They've even used this location on The Amazing Race before, apparently. I don't watch that show, so that part kind of went over my head. But while we were there, we got to actually finally see a marionette show after getting to build ours back in Prague. And then we had this awesome strudel show that takes place at Schönbrunn too, and basically
there's you not watch. Enough of them in the world. Strudel shows.
Strudel shows.
This
lasers
again was another highlight.
More lasers.
More lasers.
You just sit there and you drink coffee or tea while you eat your strudel that they give you, and you watch some guy make it in like 5 minutes, and it just a throwaway thing that ended up being really delicious and
a nice
little part of it. If I have one complaint about Schönbrunn, it's just you don't get that much time there. You have a couple hours. You maybe get 15 minutes to explore the gardens. The guides do give you the option, because then you have free time during the afternoon. They give you the option that you can stick around and explore on your own. But for the most part, it's easier sticking with the group in situations like that. So that's what we did. And then just went and explored the city on our own. But then you come back to Schönbrunn in a way for dinner, because you have dinner at the Vienna Zoo, which is also part of the grounds, because crazy Francis decided that he wanted a zoo on his... at his summer house too. So
Francis, that was a king of some sort.
I forget what royalty. They called themselves in it. They were royalty, and so he built this emperor's pavilion in the middle of his garden area, and then circulating around it, he had all these animal pens. And so, as part of your dinner, you show up and you get to go on a private tour after hours of the zoo and see some animals, and then you have dinner there. And
I believe
can't beat it.
I could be wrong, but I believe ABD is the only group that gets to do that.
I think they said that.
Yeah,
and it was definitely experience. It was pretty cool, especially to get a lot of time to just say where we really wanted to spend our time while we were at the zoo, because our guide was kind of showing us around, like, oh, there's elephants. And then all of a sudden he says, like, oh, we have wolves that just had a litter. And so then, of course, everyone wanted to go see the wolves. And then we spent like 20 minutes up there looking for baby wolves. And they were pretty cute. But yeah, so that ends off your night there, and that takes you on to your final day. And the final day starts in the morning with a guide walk through Vienna on your way to your first location, which is the Royal Spanish Riding School. That's inside, I believe, the Winter Palace of the Habsburgs. So they had the Summer mm-hmm. Palace that you go to the first day, and then the Riding School is in the Winter Palace part of it. And so these horses are these Spanish white stallions that have been around for eons, and there's even a Disney movie about it that we also got to ride on one of the bus tours called the Miracle of the White Stallions, because in World War II, the stallions got moved out of Austria and their training grounds and all that whenever the Germans came in, and then there was this whole big struggle that General MacArthur had to come in and actually help get them back because he was such a huge fan of horses. And the movie was interesting, and it's a true story, so I appreciated it. And it was definitely cool to see. We didn't get to see any of the riding shows, the famous white horses riding, but we got to see their arena that they would perform in, and got to get close to a horse and get guided around by one of the horsemen jockeys that just Wrangler. Devotes their life to watching out for these horses. And that was all a neat experience that then led into one of the weird experiences. I know Corey had something similar on his New York ABD, but dance lessons. And ours were
love interactive dancing.
Ours was to learn the Viennese waltz as taught by Mr. Elmeyer, who is a famous Austrian because he is one of the judges on Austria's Dancing with the Stars.
The Stars.
Dancing
with the Stars.
So yeah, that was a nice, stressful half an hour of stepping on each other's feet and really getting a preview for what our wedding will be
like. I don't
like.
Think we get that one here.
We did this one in Venice on our first ABD, and after that we told them no.
No dancing.
Never again. Because I think it's just awkward. I think people just are not comfortable doing that, especially in front of strangers.
It was something else when we did it in New York.
Kylie and I got in a fight in the middle of it because of it. And so I totally understand the awkwardness factor of it. It was.
Let me guess. She wanted to do it, and you did not want to do it.
No, I wanted to do it, but I have. The Viennese waltz is perfected whenever you do short strides, but because of my long, limber legs, I was doing too long of strides for her, and it
those long dancing
things got ugly. And
he was dancing wide.
Dance wide.
He's limber.
It's all. It was crazy, but then we got to leave and separate on our own to have lunch and explore.
Like, separate from each other.
Separate from each other and the group and anyone else that you wanted to separate from. And so we had lunch somewhere. I don't even remember now, but they have the city bikes in Vienna that you can just rent a bike and charge you by the hour, return it anywhere. So we rented bikes and we rode all around the city because it's kind of built in these circle loops that are impossible to really get lost in unless you try, and saw some cool sights along the way, the St. Christopher Cathedral or Basilica, I forget which one it is, just a lot more palaces, different buildings, and it definitely another highlight of the entire trip. And then the entire night ended with our farewell dinner at a restaurant that I can't really pronounce, the Periston Keller restaurant, which you go inside and they pick out a hat, put it on your head, and then you do this weird hat show and worry about lice and
your long limber hair.
My hair was short for this. It was very weird. Everyone was getting into it with their hats and having a good time, but I mean, I'm very particular about my headwear. I have my hats that I like to wear, and that's it. But, you know, a fun dinner. Farewell dinners are always fun. Everyone gets all sentimental because they do the slideshow at the end, and it's everyone's last real time together. And we had a really good group on ours, and we all got close to each other, pretty much everyone in the group.
That's even one of the things that's very hard to explain to people.
Yeah.
Because you're sharing this experience, you become – We still get Christmas cards from people we traveled with in 2006. Yeah. It's very hard to sell that to people or to explain to people. A lot of people are like, I'm not sure I want to travel with the group. I don't like traveling with strangers. And you think, wait till the middle of day one. You won't be strangers anymore.
Right.
It was so bizarre kind of with this one because this was a fam. It wasn't a typical ABD with any group people paying for it. This was a invited fam. And so just random travel agents from not just Disney sites, but, I mean, Expedia, stuff like that. I don't think anyone from Expedia was on, though. And then invited people from the media and just a whole random group of people that, you know, just really had nothing in common except everyone was there and made a lot of good friends out of it and had a really, really good time. And then the next morning left at the because I didn't listen to Kevin, I had to leave before the sun was up and get no sleep before and then headed home.
That's your fault.
Left it all behind.
All right, I have questions.
Yes.
I find it interesting that for the most part you haven't really talked about the food. There were some places where you talked about food. Was the food not memorable on this trip, or was it just not your focus?
I love German food. I would eat German food every day. I love schnitzel. I love sausage. And there was a lot of that this entire trip. I mean, it was heavy German food all
the
time.
Was the food good?
Yes, absolutely.
I think our Germany trip, I haven't done the trip you've done.
Yeah.
I think our Germany trip, we talked about it, was some of the best food we've ever had on an ABD trip.
However, by day seven, Kevin's like, I want a salad. I just want a salad. Yeah.
You've had noodles and buttered noodles and schnitzel and sausage and pork, and you think, some fish with some lime in it.
Well, I felt the same way in Italy. It's like, I can only eat so much pasta.
Yeah, there was a little bit of variety. Like, whenever we were in Monsi, we actually ate at an Italian place and had pizza. I guess there's an Italian culture that's there, so that's where they pick it. But for the most part, it is German food. And if you love German food, you would love every restaurant.
I have to tell you a story that we learned when we were in Germany. When you're in Italy, gelato is very common. Mm-hmm. It's a very Italian thing. There's a gelato stand on every corner. We were surprised to see gelato stands all over Germany. And when we asked why, we were told that after World War II, Germany was lacking males. And that they asked...
Of a certain age.
And they invited people from other countries to open up shops and restaurants and things. And a great many Italians, after World War II, emigrated to Germany.
That makes
sense. There's a lot of Italian culture mixed in with that part of Germany.
That makes sense, because there was the same situation in Prague. I would say about every 50 feet, there was another gelato stand on the side just set up. Made no sense at the time, but... No, that actually that makes it kind of funny, but no. Overall, an amazing trip. I wish it was longer. So that's the one part about ABD where they say 9 days, but really, whenever you get in and you don't start till the welcome dinner and you leave on the last day.
It's a seven day trip.
Well, that's a huge recommendation.
Back.
I wish it was longer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you have kids? Were there any kids on the trip?
Yeah, there was.
What were the ages?
The youngest one, and God, I want to say she was maybe 4 or 5.
Wow, that's young.
Very. The trip, it starts at 4. You have to be at least 4 to do this one. And I believe she was in that range. And then it went up to, I want to say the oldest, there was a 16-year-old and then like a 13-year-old and then 10s and 11s.
Going on 17.
And so there was plenty for them to do throughout the trip?
Yeah, they seemed... They seemed entertained for the most part, but a lot of the kids had an interest in what they were actually going to see. So
I get asked this question all the time. Is my kid going to like it? The only person that can answer that question is you, the parent. Whether your children are going to be happy touring palaces. Mm-hmm. I hear this about the Backstage Magic trip all the time. You're going to get to see things backstage that your kid might or might not. You're the only one who will know that. If you think this is any trip is for your kid, you're a much better judge of that than I am.
But you thought the kids on the trip were having a good time?
Oh, they were definitely having a good time.
And they do have special activities that are aimed at children.
Exactly. A couple, they have a special dinner by themselves at least once. And a couple times they get pulled to the side, adults like Schoenbrunn. We went on the private tour, and they went and they got to dress up in like period costume and have fun and take pictures and all that. So there's a lot for kids to do, too. And they really seem to like it.
Good. I have another question for you, and we should probably wrap up pretty soon. But just one more general question. If you're a – we were talking about the Sound of Music. If you're a Sound of Music fan, how do you feel like they handled that tour? Do you feel like you would get what you want out of it as somebody who likes that movie?
Absolutely. Especially because of ABD, like getting you into the gazebo and having those opportunities. I think the one thing we were expecting was that more of it was filmed in
soundstage.
Yeah, well, we didn't expect so much of it to be filmed in sound stages, more on location. We essentially got to see everything except the exterior of the house, which they didn't film anything inside. That's a sound stage.
And the hill that she spends
around.
And then
the abbey and the hill. Yeah, that's private property.
And
but,
very, from what I understand, very, very difficult to get.
Yeah.
It's not an easy trek.
I mean, we were completely content. And then, like, I was even excited enough to go home then and, you know, rewatch it again and see all the places
we went to.
I absolutely. Kylie's a much bigger Sound of Music fan than I am, and she got a kick out of it. I think there are better highlights out of the tour walking away from it, like the salt mine and the ice hole just surprising you out of nowhere. But no,
every time right now,
you.
Every time you're gonna giggle.
Yes,
calm.
Such a child.
Cool your jets.
Cool your ice hole.
Oh my god.
Go ahead.
I'm glad you guys had a good time. I really am.
Yeah.
Would you recommend it to other people?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would.
Awesome.
If
Very
we
popular.
Had another one open up and you couldn't send anyone else, I would volunteer to go back.
You go right
in
back
a
again. Huh?
Yeah.
Right. Right back into that.
Are you an ABD convert now?
I was after the Backstage Magic. So I would do any ABD.
Good.
If you want to book an ABD, let me know.
All right, Craig, anything else you want to tack on the end, or is that about cover it for what we're doing here?
People need to go take this trip.
All right, cool. Well, we'll put a link in the show notes page of how you could sign up for that trip if you want. And again, if you want to have any direct questions or want to quote, you can contact Kevin at dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Thank you very much, Craig. That was a great segment. Very informative. I appreciate that.
That was great.
Yeah.
It was great.
And
awesome.
That'll do it for our show this week. We hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you next week with another edition of the Diz Unplugged. Thanks for watching, everyone. And remember, I'm still working on my catchphrase.
Love you, mean it.